Buried in all the announcement this week about the July stimulus was also a fairly significant expansion in the Help to Buy scheme. And if you pick up any of this morning's papers, you'll see that there are some fairly significant plans in the works to be legislated for this week, hopefully, to try and extend some protection for tenants in the midst of the economic crisis that we're facing in the midst of COVID-19. So to discuss all of that and a little bit more, we are joined now on the line by the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien. Minister, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Gavin.
And thank you very much for joining us on the record lunchtime.
No problem.
I will talk to you about all of those things first, but just one thing which I am completely swamped with texts about after we had Pascal Donoghue on the show a little bit earlier on. People who are sick to the teeth and really who cannot tolerate the idea that with all of the economic crisis that the country is facing and with all the money that the government has had to try and sink into private business this week to try and keep the country afloat, the idea that the government also took time to legislate to increase one of its own junior minister salaries by €16,000, how do you defend that?
Well, I heard Pascal Donoghue earlier on and he covered it comprehensively, Gavin. It was a cabinet decision. Look, I get, you know, I understand the frustration, I do. But it's a matter of trying to equalise, you know, make sure that there is a fairness also at cabinet. Now, our three, you know, junior ministers who sit at the cabinet table are all do jobs equally as important as my own. And look, it was in the context of... We obviously had a very significant business stimulus package, which I also covered with Pascal earlier on, that has aspects relating to housing, about €7 billion worth of measures, initially €5 billion of those in grants. I understand why there's a focus, particularly on this, but like I think I'd ask people to look at it in the overall context of the supports the government are bringing forward in areas like, you know, extending the wage subsidy scheme, increasing the business restart grants. Things like you've mentioned as well, with additional grants for Help to Buy to help first-time buyers, bringing voids back into the market. I announced funding this week, to bring an extra 2,000 public homes back in this year. So, like, they're the real issues. I do get the frustration. I understand it. It was a government decision. It's been made collectively by cabinet.
Yes.
And
people
we've
got to
get on with the real work at hand.
Sure, but people will wonder what changed in Fianna Fáil's position, because there's a statement which is still on Fianna Fáil's website, put out in the name of Thomas Byrne 3 years ago, and he said that Fianna Fáil would vote against any legislative change which attempts to fund an additional super junior position. That Leo Varadkar didn't think through his appointments at the time and he had to deal with the consequences. It seems the only thing that's changed is that Fianna Fáil are now in power themselves.
No, I think, to be fair, look, we've a three-party coalition. You know, it took a long time to put the coalition together. It's a partnership coalition at that, with ourselves, Fine Gael and the Greens. And it's important around the cabinet that there is a proportion, there's a representation of that coalition around there. And there's a lot of issues for us to deal with. Like, the three junior ministers have, you know, extensive powers themselves, and they're there at the cabinet table with an equal say on things. So, look, Thomas's statement is 3 years ago in a different context as well. Not on the basis of us being in power. It's the reality of it is that we've a three-party coalition.
Well, could the government tolerate the idea that instead of maybe paying two of those ministers allowances of €16,000, that maybe all three of them could receive an equal allowance, but maybe that allowance could be 10,000 and a bit, so that there wouldn't be any overall extra cost to the exchequer?
Look, Gavin, I think there was nothing secretive about this. Cabinet made their decision, announced it, and brought legislation to the Dáil and Shannon, and it's voted on. It's there. It's out there in the open. I do understand the frustration and annoyance that some people share on this. I would ask, though, those as well, is to put it in the context of the overall packages that have been delivered this week and, the, you know, where this ranks in the overall importance of issues. We have a big job to do to protect people's jobs and livelihoods, to get people back to work, to support our SME sector all across this country, and in my own portfolio to keep, you know, to keep the focus on getting our homeless people back into homes, helping our first-time buyers, and making sure we're building public housing on public land. Like, they're the real issues at play.
Can I ask you then about the matters closer to your own brief, namely the expansion of the Help to Buy scheme, which was obviously announced as part of the July stimulus. So where previously people could claim back 5% of the cost of a new built home up to €20,000, they can now claim up to 10% or €30,000, whichever is lower. Almost immediately, the cost of new properties and new developments went up by about 10 grand overnight. Has all of this not just resulted in immediately subsidising developers?
Actually, Gavin, I saw two instances of that happening. Actually, only two, okay? And I'll be looking into those particular ones. That's all I saw. We have not seen a blanket increase of 10,000. I've had a lot of people in contact with me now who are saying that that's the extra money that they needed to get their deposit together to buy their home. This is a temporary measure, by the way. It runs up to the end of the year. I'll be bringing forward an affordable purchase scheme later in the autumn that's very much focused on first-time buyers to be able to buy affordable homes. This measure, up to now, the Help to Buy, about just short of 18,000 people have actually availed of the grant. And it's been particularly important in our urban centres, Dublin, Cork, Galway, the Greater Dublin area as well, to help people get their deposits together.
But the question is, Minister, has it made anything any more affordable, though? Because if you give young couple the same 20 grand, if you give them the same 30 grand now, does it not just push every property up by the same price?
And I understand the question you're asking, and I understand the concerns that people may have that this is inflationary, but it's actually not. And the proof of the scheme how it has operated over the last couple of years, it has not driven house price inflation. What it is a targeted measure to help those who want to get their foot on the ladder to buy their first home and to get that deposit together, which can be very difficult for a lot of people. And a lot of those people who are trying to buy their first homes are the same ones who are paying very high rents, finding it difficult to save. So I think government are right, and I am right, to actually be able to try to help them get their deposit together to buy their home. We're not looking at changing mortgage rules. I don't want people chasing unaffordable mortgages, and that's why later this year I'm going to be bringing forward, in a short couple of months, an affordable purchase scheme for first-time buyers, where we've been doing a lot of work on that over the last 4 weeks. But indeed, I've worked on it in opposition for the last 2-3 years. And I think that'll make a very significant change for our people out there who want to own their own homes. And most people do. So, I think this measure is a short-term measure. Is the feedback I have got from real people who are actually trying to buy their own homes on Twitter and Facebook, and emails I've got in, has actually been very positive. I am going to watch, however, and I've seen two specific developments where prices went up straight away. That's not acceptable, and not acceptable at all. And I will be investigating that in a lot more detail tomorrow.
What can you do about that in instances where it's not acceptable?
Well, look, I've got to see, one, whether it's true, okay, because I've just seen the reports on social media, and I would expect then that at that stage, if it is true and if it can be backed up, well, then we'll have to take it from there. I don't want to prejudge what measures I can take. I'll have to check that, but that's not the intention of this scheme. Is not to inflate prices. It hasn't done so up to now. It hasn't happened across the board even since the announcement.
But it has done so. Even Philip Lane, who was the governor of the central bank at the time, told the Oireachtas Committee in 2017 that it had helped to inflate house prices.
Yeah, but if you look what happened between the announcement of the Help to Buy and its operation over the last 2 years, that hasn't been borne out. So it actually has not been
borne out. The governor of the central bank was wrong.
In that instance, yes, he was. So the reality of it is, if you look at what has happened over the last 2 years, is that this measure has helped 18,000 couples and individuals to get their deposit together to buy their own home. And that's what it has done. So this measure here is an additional support that will run till December this year, which will further increase the grant. And don't forget, it's an effective rebate on tax paid as well. So it hasn't had the inflationary effect that some were concerned that it may have. And those issues were raised in the Oireachtas. The governor was right to raise concerns if you're concerned at the time, but it wasn't borne out by that.
Okay.
So I think this is a very targeted measure for first-time buyers that has been welcomed by most of them, and that will help. I'm not seeking the change in mortgage rules to allow additional borrowings. This is a grant. But in instances whereby particular builders, if it happens, inflate those prices, I will be investigating. I'm looking at what we can do at the moment. As I said, two cases have been brought to my attention. It hasn't been across the board. I'm going to look specifically into those.
There is another complaint about the Help to Buy scheme, particularly when then you allow it to be expanded to apply to possibly more expensive properties. And that's that it encourages developers to develop only more expensive properties. That if there's the prospect of the state giving someone a leg up to the tune of 30 grand, that they're only then going to provide, maybe 3-bed semi-D homes, and they're not necessarily going to build first-time apartment blocks, and that they're always going to cater to the more lavish end of the market.
Yeah, I get that point. What I would say is we've an issue with apartments already, and people will know that in the building cost of apartments and how affordable they are. As I said, this is a short-term measure announced as part of the stimulus. What I'm looking at right now and to bring forward in the autumn is a more sustainable permanent scheme around affordability for young people and indeed for couples out there, that they can buy their own home at a very reasonable price where the state would actually take an equity stake in their home. There's a suite of measures there that are available. It was done quite well in the past, and I've looked to retweak that, to rework it. There's legislation already on the statute books, which is the 2009 Act, which I may need to change, but work is advanced on that. So this measure here is, as I said, a temporary increase to the end of the year to help people, you know, get their deposits together. Help to Buy has broadly been successful, to be fair. And I think the people who've availed of it, many of them who I know and live in my own constituency here in Fingal, you know, were very grateful to get it, in the sense that it actually helped them to get the funding together for their deposits.
Okay.
And a lot of people who are renting, Gavin, you know it, and people are paying up nearly up to €2,000
sure.
a month if they can get a mortgage. A lot of the time is their outgoings are halved, where they're paying a mortgage of 1,000, 1,100, where they were paying rent of 2,000. It makes sense.
Yeah. One other thing that you said you're going to bring forward as well is some new legislation, which hopefully should be passed by the Oireachtas this week, to try and address the
sure.
fact that the previous, or the current rent freeze rather, and moratorium on evictions is to expire at the end of the month. You say
yeah.
in an interview with the Business Post today that you will extend the rent freeze for everyone until January the 10th, but not quite the case then for all evictions. Can you explain that for a little bit for us?
No, yeah, but okay, two things. I think the measures brought forward by the Oireachtas at the start of the pandemic were always temporary.
Yeah.
They've been extended once, and you know, there is, I have a concern about the legal basis that it's constructed on, and it was open to a challenge. So I didn't want all the protections just, you know, falling by the wayside over the summer. So what I'm bringing forward, and I've published on Friday, is a Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill 2020. What that's going to do is focus very particularly on those who are most at risk, okay? So people who have either lost their jobs or have had their wages reduced because of COVID, people in receipt of the PUP pandemic payment or the wage support scheme or HAP or indeed the emergency rent allowance, that they will be able to self-declare under this bill, when enacted, obviously, the Act itself, and that they will get effective protections up to January next year.
So if you self-declare that you've had a loss of income and that you're having trouble meeting your rent, you get it frozen for 6 months, or an eviction moratorium for 6 months.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to be protected up until January. All other instances, you know, the normal process will apply. There are some people who would have been in the process of evictions, where eviction notices have been served or time was running out, and we'll have some short-term measures for them as well. But the blanket ban position and the blanket rent freeze just simply wasn't sustainable. So the protections I'm bringing forward, yes, some are COVID-related that will bring further protections in place until January, but there's some permanent measures I'm bringing in as well
to
help people with rent arrears, which is really important.
When you say not sustainable, does that mean that there were constitutional concerns around whether you could just roll them over?
Well, frankly, there were, and there were concerns raised directly with me when I was looking at this. Obviously, it was discussed at Cabinet that a lot of work had to be done with the Attorney General's office, and really it was I need to make sure that the most vulnerable people during this pandemic are actually protected, balancing that with the rights of property owners too. Okay, and I'm pretty happy that this bill will achieve that, and will achieve other things such as involving the Residential Tenancies Board at an earlier stage in rent arrears cases, and helping and providing assistance through MABS and the RTB as well. So there's some good new protections and processes that will be brought forward as part of this legislation that will endure post the pandemic
as well. But the ban on evictions will be extended only for those who self-declare that they've lost their income. Then will it be the case that the rent freeze remains in place for all tenancies, irrespective?
The rent freeze will apply to those people who are in that category, those who need the protections most.
Okay, so you self-declare that you need those protections and then you're entitled to them.
Yeah, of course. You'll get them both on evictions and in relation to protection against further increases. There are many people, thankfully, whose jobs have not been affected, or their income has not been affected by the pandemic. And that was going to be the issue. One of the issues legally is the blanket nature of the protections.
And the fact that they were introduced on health grounds rather than economic grounds.
Well, on public health grounds. So this is much more robust. It'll give a lot of certainty for people for the next 6 months. Some in the opposition were just calling for a 3-month extension. This does a lot more than that. If you look at what's happened in the north as well, And in other jurisdictions in the north, they only extended the notice period from 4 to 12 weeks. That was the only protection that was afforded tenants in the north of Ireland. So this is much more robust. It'll endure for longer, and there are some really positive permanent changes. And I've brought these forward in consultation with many of the of advocates for tenants' rights and for our homeless groups. I've spent a lot of time with over the last few months, but does strike the balance in recognising the right of property owners as well.
Well, it's on the right of property owners actually that we've had a text from John, because John wants to know, what is the minister doing to protect the landlords who are dependent on their rental income for their pension? Mm-hmm. If the public feel the tenants need support, it should be the taxpayers and not the landlords who should end up providing those funds. And that's from John.
Yeah, well, we've emergency rent supplement in place. And again, I would say to people, anyone who's listening who has had their income affected or lost their job due to COVID, they can apply for the emergency rent supplement. Only 8,000 people have since that was announced, and that does concern me. And that's what I've been trying to get the word out there, that it is available. It's a shortened process, a shortened form for people. So, look, John is right. There are supports there from the state for tenants who can't pay. This bill here, though, will ensure that the uncertainty for tenants and landlords alike is actually removed, that that this is a graduated approach towards moving out of the emergency legislation, which was based on health grounds, into a much more sustainable legislative basis for us to move forward on, that, as I said, does recognise the rights of landlords, individual landlords like John and others, but also protects the most vulnerable tenants and does it in a real way. And I want, this will come to the Dáil on Tuesday, back into the Dáil on Thursday and the Shannon Friday. And should it be passed, it'll be in law the following week. So it's an extensive piece of work. It's complex, it's detailed, but we've turned it around very quickly. And, you know, I want to make sure that we move out of the blanket moratorium, which is the first, and that this act comes into effect on the second, so that there is no gap in protections for people.
Question for Dara O'Brien, please, and this is a slightly technical one, so I don't know if you'll have an answer to your fingertips, but it's someone who's texting in about the amendments that you've made to the Help to Buy scheme. For first-time buyers who have signed contracts before July the 23rd, that's 3 days ago when all this was announced, and the developer has already claimed the Help to Buy, but the buyer hasn't drawn down their mortgage, are they still eligible then to apply for the amended Help to Buy and to get the extra state supports?
It's a good question. I've had a few people in touch with me about that very thing. If the money has been drawn down, there has to be a start date for this. Unfortunately, they would not be able to access the increased grant that's available. If someone's in the process of doing so and hasn't actually, the funds haven't been remitted, I'm checking that out at the moment. And what I would say is, look, I'll have a little bit more clarity as to how that will work tomorrow, basically. But if funds have been drawn down, you're under the previous scheme. This scheme came into, these changes came into effect on Thursday last. So that's when the new the new grant amount of 30,000
that was July 23rd. One other text from another landlord, and this is from Dan, who says that my two tenants have refused to pay their rent since April. They say that COVID has affected their jobs, yet both cars are gone early in the morning. They say I shouldn't have to pay my mortgage, which I am paying, as I avail of a break during the recession so the bank won't give me another one. The tenants are scamming the system and I'm paying the price, and it's a complete joke. They haven't even offered to pay 50% of the rent. That's from Dan.
Well, they're wrong, the tenants, and they should be paying the rent and they're legally obliged to do so. And from the 2nd of August, that people who just don't pay their rent and who haven't had salaries or jobs affected by COVID won't have the blanket protections that the state offered, and rightly so. And they are liable to pay that rent, and they should pay it. And if they had lost their jobs, as I said, the emergency rent supplement was there and is available to them. And so neither the landlord or the tenant should be in a worse position. Obviously, look, Dan will be able to take that matter directly up with the Residential Tenancies Board. But look, let's put it this way, though, Gavin. I think it's important to say the vast, vast majority of tenants and landlords operate exactly as they should and are decent people. You will always get the exceptions to it. Legislation, you know, can't legislate for every single, you know, tenant, nor indeed every single landlord. But having said that, in that particular instance, those tenants are wrong, they're in breach, they have a legal obligation to pay the rent.
Sure.
If they're not able to pay it, we can help that.
Sure. There's one other question I want to put to you, and I appreciate we're about to run out of time on this, but one other point, which is raised by Joe, which is a very fair point. He says, why is there little or no reporting that those in mortgage arrears can't access mortgage breaks? Surely they are the ones that need the breaks more than most. And it's a reasonable point from that texter, Joe. Minister, is there anything that you can do to ensure that people who are already in mortgage distress before all of this, who don't have the new mortgage pauses available to them, is there anything that can be done to them to try and help them save their house?
Yeah, actually, in the interview I've given in the Sunday Business Post today, which is very extensive, there's a, I have particular concerns around mortgage arrears and what we need to do to expand the mortgage to rent scheme. But specifically on that point, some institutions have actually offered assistance to those who are in mortgage arrears. And I know that personally because before I was appointed minister, I had constituents who were in contact with me about this very thing. And it seems to be dealt with differently between one institution and another. But obviously, that is a matter that's still there. If people are in mortgage arrears and they're still working and they're working through a measures with their banks to address it, there is no reason why the banks can't provide forbearance there. There's nothing to prevent them doing that.
Okay. We will leave it there, Minister. Thank you very much for your time this lunchtime. Good to catch
no
up
problem,
with you.
Gavin,
that's Minister for Housing and TD for Dublin Fingal, Dara O'Brien, joining us there.